news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience ends. Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Members on Iron Club Crow sends the first guard crew.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hey, well, thanks for tuning in. This is not a live broadcast, but we still like to bring you a show. So and even though things went wrong this week, we still put on a show. So this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. We are professional about what we do here. We bring it to you, the people. And I'm your host, they call the Surfer. And I'm joined by Jordan.
Hey, we apologize again for the clusterfuck that was last Sunday.
Well, as if, of course, you was trying to listen to Sunday, but
we
won't. No dwell on the past now, okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about
moving to the future. And, you know, I hear it's so bright, you gotta wear shade sometimes.
All right, so.
That was a lame joke.
Just tell the people how they can listen to us.
Well, since this is a live show, you sadly can't join in on us this time, but there are numerous ways in which you can listen to us. You know, there's Stitcher Internet Radio, which has become real popular lately. It's real good. There's Geek Life Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, they're the best two options. You can listen to us and on replay along with the other fine Rant Entertainment Media radio programs at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live, and of course the almighty iTunes. Go to iTunes right now, search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section and subscribe, and while you're there, maybe rate us 5 stars and leave a review. That will help us out nicely, get us a little bit more recognition, all that good stuff.
Okay, and let's get started. Now, sometimes I give you box office numbers if it pertains to what we do here. And this movie doesn't really pertain to us, but we kind of jokingly say this has become a superhero franchise. And that, of course, is The Fast and Furious, which came in number one over the weekend. And it brought in $147 million, I believe.
Yes.
Which is
the highest for the franchise.
Biggest opening in April all time. And has cracked the top 10 for openings of all time movies. So, if you ball and can drive real fast, you the man. I know you was thinking about shaving your head and getting a fast car, Jordan.
One, I look ridiculous with a bald head. Two, I can barely afford a car right now.
Okay.
And I'm here to shatter your illusions.
I wouldn't mind driving fast on a racetrack by myself.
That'd be cool.
By myself. Not in a race. Excuse me.
Of course.
Yeah, and, you know, in a race, I'd probably crash. I'm aware of that. Excuse me.
there's a good chance of crashing.
Yeah. Let's talk about.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, if you drove Formula One, I'd watch, but fuck NASCAR.
Let's talk about some TV shows that we watched last week.
Yeah, let's do that. Because, you know, there's a lot of good TV out there.
Let's start with the season finale of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Nice 90-minute episode, which some people didn't think a lot happened, but...
I disagree.
We got the people of Alexandria on board that this is a dangerous world now. Pete, who was as he was referred to in some corners as the porch asshole, because he beat on his wife and sat in the dark smoking cigarettes. Well, he met his end because he didn't know how to act. The main thing is Morgan showed back up. Mm-hmm. Not just any Morgan, Ninja Morgan.
Lenny James is back.
I tell you, man, we talk about how if you're black on that, if you're a black male on that show, you don't have long. But Morgan's been there since day one. He's the longest running black man on that show, so I have to give it up to him. Which is probably why we lost three this season. I mean, you know, they had five on the show at one time. And then they just started picking us off. Jordan?
Yeah?
You wouldn't pick me off in the zombie apocalypse, would you?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I'd get bored by myself.
But, yeah.
I need people. I'm a people person.
Right. Well, no, Sis, what was your thoughts on that episode of Walking Dead?
I thought it was a damn good episode. It was a nice little epilogue to what happened, you know, to the previous previous episode. Nice little slowdown, character building, some pretty damn good stuff as well. I honestly found it enjoyable. It also was a great wrap-up to what I find to be the best season of The Walking Dead so far. I really liked it. Its setup was good. Very intriguing stuff. Great performances as well. And so
we met more of the danger for next season, which is the wolves.
Yes, the wolves. And I honestly found this to be a damn good movie. Season finale. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of movies today. I honestly found it to be very good. It's great. I highly enjoy it. So.
Yeah. But we got that out of the way. What's next?
The Flash.
The Flash, yeah. Oh, man, we got a lot on The Flash this week.
So much good stuff.
We got to find out the backstory by Harrison Wells, a.k.a.
Eobard Thawne.
Eobard Thawne, a.k.a. the Reverse Flash. And what one of his motivations is. It turns out that he wasn't trying to kill Nora Allen, who was the Flash's mother, and went 15 years ago. He was trying to get rid of his enemy, the Flash, and got stuck in the past and then... basically making the Flash happen in order to get the Speed Force working again so he can, I guess, steal it at some point or have it available to go back into the future.
But as we learned, he killed the actual Harrison Wells.
Yes, so...
stole his identity, caused the events that... and again, Eobard Thawne, I'm going to need you to build that particle accelerator now, because, you know, he needed it because he wanted to get back to his own time, and it was really intriguing stuff, sat nicely across from the stuff going on with Mark Hamill and Devin Gray as the tricksters, James Jesse, and Axel Walker, who I thought both did great jobs.
Yes. Insane as they were. And of course, you got some fan service throwbacks because you got the original Trickster in the same room
as John Wesley Shipp, the original Flash from the 1990s show.
And of course,
There was even another actor from the 90s show in there.
And who's that?
The mayor. Hold on, let me bring up the actor's name. You saw the original 90s show, right?
No, I can't say that I did because I wasn't home. I had to work at nights. Like, I've seen, like, bits and pieces, but never watched the entire show.
Well, my computer's being dumb as shit right now. It's Vito. That's all I can say right now, Vito. Ugh, come on. Anyway, yeah, it was like a nice little 90. It was, oh, finally. Yeah, it was just a nice little, while being its own thing, also I was like, hey, remember how good that 90s show was? Yeah, it still holds up very well.
And we got a little Star Wars reference thrown in there for good measure. Well,
of course, that was just a small part of this huge this just became one of the most important episodes of the show.
Yeah, and then they're making us wait 2 weeks before we get to see more. Excuse me.
Well, it's only for right now as we record. It's only 6 weeks.
I'm saying, like, it, you know,
we had to wait 2 weeks. Yeah, I get it.
Because this week, coming up, you know, there's no new episodes or reruns. So, I'm just ready to get to the end of the season. I mean, I don't want it to come. I do want it to come. I want to see what's going on. I want all to be revealed. I want the truth.
By the way, the actor is Vito D'Ambrosia.
Mm-hmm.
No, I fully agree.
So that's like the third actor from... No, I mean, not the third. The fourth actor.
Yeah, because Amanda Pays has shown back up as a different version of her character, Tina McGee.
Right. So, you know, and they knew there was... I did know that the 90s Flash had a nice little fan base. And that lasted, a season, right?
Sadly, only a season, because while the show was good, it was a bit expensive to produce at the time.
Yeah, CBS, you know, network.
Also, CBS was just weird about its timing, because it's an hour-long show, and yet they aired it about, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central.
Well, that happens.
They were also trying to, get in that ring at this, the same television juggernaut ring as the Simpsons and the Cosby Show were in. As well.
Oh, and then we gotta get to Arrow because there is no missing on Arrow, man. That show always firing all cylinders.
Agree. Well, I will say this season, in all honesty, started picking up and firing on all cylinders once it had its crossover, once its episode part of the Flash crossover happened, and then after that. From the mid-season finale on, it's been fired on all cylinders.
It's been fired on all cylinders all season long, but
I can't quite say that.
You know, Ra's al Ghul, who we find out that this may not be the Ra's al Ghul that Batman has.
They keep saying it's like he's inherited the title, yes. which shows that this version, this interpretation of Ra's al Ghul is like a title. Like the League of Assassins always leads Ra's al Ghul, who I imagine at one point was an original person, surely.
Yeah, well, he said that he took over from
and that from title, the Demon's Head, has been handed down to person to person to person.
And, you know, this whole thing is he went out of a queen to become...
Then his apprentice. Like yes.
It's kind of sexist in a way. Both,
how is it sexist?
No, I mean, seriously, both this version and the version that usually tangles with Batman, they always want some male to take their place. And both of them have a daughter who thinks they should take over the reins. And they're not trying to have it. take the Batman rule, okay? He wanted Batman. He thought Batman was the superior male, perfect.
The son he never had.
Right. And then, of course, he made sure him and Talia made sure that they had a child, which was Damian, who was then perfect because that's his blood plus Batman's blood, all set up and trained from birth to take over the League of Assassins. So, it's a sexist thing. I mean, apparently these men don't think that women are capable of taking over the mantle. What can you say?
I'm not gonna go that far. It's just, hey, you know.
All right, so
I know you're my kid, but he's kind of, but this person's kind of a little bit more worthy.
Yeah, but even before he met these people, it was like, I don't think he ever thought, either version thought they wanted their daughter to take over. See, like in this one, Nyssa thinks that it's because, you know, she fell in love with Sarah, that he won't let her become heir to the throne. But I don't
feel an emotion to get in the line.
No, I don't think he ever had that thought because she's a woman.
They're not going to say it. I really can't quite say that. I really can't come to the conclusion like, oh, Rachel Gould just hates women. No, I didn't say that.
He hate women. He just, you know, some people have that, just think that, you know, men on top, women on the bottom.
Well, there's nothing about the character that I've ever seen that I would even say is sexist. I just can't quite say that.
You know, sexism doesn't always rear its head in obvious ways.
Well, I know, but again, I just can't quite say that.
All right. Well, I think you don't want to see the truth, but that's cool.
Oh yeah. Let's just go to that. Let's just not hear my side of things. Okay.
Next up is
Wait. Okay. I wasn't done with Arrow.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think this is the best episode of the show's ever done so far. To me. Public Enemy. This episode was just fan. God damn test.
And then of course, Did we get the Suicide Squad this week?
No, that was last week.
That was last week. Okay.
Oh, okay. That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I'm just making sure because I know
the episode before Public Enemy.
Oh yeah. So this is when, of course, the city finds out that Oliver Queen is the Arrow, and now is a manhunt for him. And Detective Lance, who's basically Commissioner Gordon on this show. He's really got it in for the Arrow because he feels betrayed over the fact that they didn't tell him that his daughter Sarah died, and he thought he should have known, and everybody thought it'd be too painful if he knew. So.
What is that?
Nothing. I didn't know you could hear it. My bad.
Okay. Well, like I said, I think it's the best episode so far.
And I can't wait for this to get back on track too, because they're making us wait a week before they finish out the season. But if you've seen some of the extended trailers and Paley Fest videos, there's a lot coming on both these shows.
It's exciting. I would even recommend not watching them, just so you can.
I can't put the genie back in the bottle. But I saw something in the Arrow trailer that I'm not too happy about.
Well, let's not say it for the viewer, for the listener.
No, I'm not going to say what. I'm just going to say who. To do with Felicity and what I didn't want to happen to her is going to happen. And now I may have to rethink of watching this show. I may have to give it up because they're not listening to me as a fan, and I think they ought to listen to what I have to say. If I don't want something, then it shouldn't happen. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, let's go to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And let's actually talk about last night's episode and last week's.
No, we ain't talking about, we're not talking about anything new because we need something for next week. Let's talk about the last week's episode, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, of course, we had a confrontation between Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. and the quote-unquote, the real S.H.I.E.L.D., led by Commander Adama himself. Agent Gonzalez,
and played by Edward James Olmos.
And some of Coulson's men were really working for him, and it's a double cross, and it seems like it seemed like Hydra had infiltrated, but everybody claims they're part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they think Coulson's a danger, and they think Sky's a real danger, and they think they need to put a squash to it. But sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. But Sky has found her peoples. She's been picked up by Gordon of the Inhumans and taken to some hidden place that we'll find out about in the next episode. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen between these two shells? Are they going to end up joining forces, or?
I don't know. I suck at guessing what TV shows nowadays. I really don't make guesses anymore.
Do you trust everybody on the real S.H.I.E.L.D. to be actually S.H.I.E.L.D. good guys?
I don't really know because we just got to them.
And then We still need to find out.
I mean, I think their heart's in the right place, but I'm not quite sure. Again, I want to guess too much of TV shows anymore.
And there's Hydra still out there. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't forget about them. They're somewhere lurking. They kind of got rid of Hydra like mid-season, and then you ain't heard from them since. But I can't believe Hydra's just going like that as far as the season goes, so something's going to happen. But we are getting a lot of questions and answers as far as what can tie into the cinematic universe with the Inhumans, which is a good thing. I mean, if you're going to do a TV show that ties into the movies, then have things set things up. I mean, that was the problem with the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. It just spinning its wheels. And nothing really tied in until after to Captain America.
Yeah, which, again, then maybe they should have had a lesser episode order, which I think really would have helped that season. And, you know, still, if they couldn't, then keep it interesting. Like, don't have so much goddamn filler. Mm-hmm. Again, what I love about this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, it's learned from its mistakes.
Yeah, and the sad thing, it might be too late because some people, when they jumped off the wagon, they never came back. And it's always set in their mind and set in their psyche that show is just not as good as they was hoping. And at this point, they would be wrong. And that's why we're trying to tell you people, you should be watching. You know, this is the time to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. Because you're going to miss it when it's gone. Excuse me. I got bad cough. And what other shows we got? iZombie? This is that the last one, right?
We got iZombie and Powers.
I'm not ready for Powers yet, so.
Well, can I just say real quick something about Powers?
No.
No, I said real quick.
No. Well, wait. We're going to do that together.
All right. Yeah, iZombie, really good.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to see how eating these zombie brains are really affecting our heroine because she's eating people's brains that are really affecting her in some extreme ways. And this week she ate the brain of a cold-blooded killer. And it kind of made her cold-blooded. But of course, the killer was murdered themselves. So, because she, you know, the brains she eating are murder victims, she has to go help the police solve these murders in a strange and unorthodox way. And of course, you have more and more zombies popping up. I don't know. How much do you know about the book?
I read some of it. It was at a time where I was already reading.
Is there a lot of zombies in the book?
What?
A lot of zombies?
I don't quite remember because it's been years since I've read it. Okay. I'm thinking of going back and rereading it.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to like this show, but so far I do like it. So
yeah, it's a real surprise. It's honestly growing on me.
And it does fit in the CW mode, so.
And again, my thing is I'm liking the writing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, well, I've made no secret, I'm a huge Rob Thomas fan, and I think he's doing a bang-up job here.
See, I wish we could talk about some real good shows like Grimm, but of course, no, you don't watch it.
So. You can talk about Grimm. I'm just not going to talk about it. Talk about Grimm, man. I have no problem with that.
You should be watching this. You just don't
know. I tried it. It's not my thing.
You don't know good television shows, especially. You get all these.
Says the person making me watch one of the worst.
Stop. Gotham is not the worst. They do some bad. They do some good things. They do some bad
not
things.
Not often.
But it does seem like with season two, they're trying to ham-fist in more Batman villains than this show should have, because we're not interested in the Batman villains before Batman shows up. That's not interesting to us, okay? The reason why they're Batman villains is because the police can't stop them. If the police could stop them, then Batman wouldn't worry about them. So we don't want that. We want police versus the mob, okay?
Want good scripts.
Right. We want good scripts. We don't want to see whining billionaire boys.
Again, look.
We don't want to see skanky cat girls who are not really good at what she does. And
God, I hate this Selena Kyle so much. She's too... Every time her cute little precocious mouth opens, I'm just like, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
But, you know.
Again, look.
We got about four more episodes coming up. And so
Gotham does do good stuff, but it's not too often.
It doesn't focus. That's the problem.
That is the problem. It's totally inconsistent. It doesn't know really what it wants to be, so it's just going to take... So it's trying to be a hodgepodge of something from every 75th... For all 75 years of Batman, I was like, pick one version you want to be. Maybe you can work in other versions, but you got to have a reason for it. Do it well. Get your shit together.
That's an editorial from Jordan Cobb. So, anyway...
Look,
I see the flaws. I see the good things. You know, it's not a terrible show.
I'm sorry. I really can't say Gotham is good. Overall, I do think it's a terrible show.
Well, anyway, it's still your job to watch it. So, anywho,
you know what? You know what looks more of a good Batman show, but also its own thing? Daredevil, which I can't wait to watch this Friday.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next week. Get into a little Daredevil action.
You going to try to watch all 10 episodes before we go on the air?
As soon as I get that PW, you know, but we won't argue about that over the air, okay? We've argued enough over that. Let's get into the news.
Yeah, and speaking of Gotham, and since we just brought up its problem of trying to cram in villains, hey, guess what? Gotham's gonna try to put in about three more villains. Yay!
You're talking about on Gotham, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Gotham. I just mentioned that. I mentioned that, that they seem like next season they're going to try to ham-fist in more Batman villains.
Yeah, like Clayface and the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, none of these things we're interested in because.
And this was at its panel at WonderCon over this past weekend in Anaheim. And even apparently they even said Court of Owls, like they've come close, but haven't yet committed.
Speaking of Court of Owls, you know we forgot to do.
today's DC animated original movie Batman versus Robin, which heavily features the Court of Owls.
Yes. Now, this is the latest DC animated universe movie. It's available on digital on demand, but not yet on Blu-ray and DVD. That's coming out in a few weeks.
April 14th.
April 14th, right. So,
go to your local Best Buy.
The nut of this. This is based off the current Batman, slightly, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo run, which they did a storyline called The Court of Owls. But in this particular movie, The Court of Owls isn't the main focus of this movie. It's more like a plot device. This is more focused on Batman and Robin, which is Damian Wayne.
Yeah, them trying to get used to each other within their crime fighting ways.
And it's a deal. It's a thing where Bruce Wayne hasn't acknowledged Damian yet.
What, publicly?
Right, publicly. So, he keeps him on lockdown. Damien's not trying to stay in the house. So, Damien sneaks out the house at night as Robin to go fight crime, steals Batmobiles and everything. And as the movie starts off, of course, he goes after the Dollmaker. And during the course of that confrontation, a character named Talon shows up and shows a little lethal force, which leads to the Court of Owls, which is this secret organization has been running Gotham through its 1% elite secretly because they think they know better than the average Gothamite. And they want Bruce Wayne to join them because he's a billionaire. He got money. At the same time, their agent, Talon, who deals out punishment or justice, whatever they need, is trying to convince...
That depends on your personal definition.
Right, is trying to convince this new Robin to join him over Batman. Of course, not knowing the dynamic between the relationship between Batman and Robin. And you've read this... I've only seen parts of it. It seemed like they took this storyline in a different way from what the book did.
No, they certainly did. There are some key moments from the Court of Owls storyline that are perfectly recreated, like such as a fight in the Batcave and the design of the Owls and their headquarters and such. And the look of them. That's great. Now, again, they're both part of my biggest positive and biggest negative about the movie, which is I like the Court of Owls stuff. It's very good. Jeremy Sisto as Talon really works. Excellent. But there's a twist that's not from the book with the Court of Owls Grandmaster that I just particularly did not enjoy because it just felt so sudden, didn't have any real build up, and just really didn't make a whole lot of sense.
And missing from this, not that he's not in the, he's in the movie, but I think Robin had more of a role in the book than he did in the movie, right? Nightwing. Nightwing.
Okay, Nightwing had a bit more of a role in the Court of Owls, because again, this is only a slight adaptation. Really.
And, of course,
It's not a full-blown one. That would be a completely different
No
movie.
Tim Drake.
Yeah, there's still no Tim Drake within this, which I'm like, what happened with Tim Drake?
He doesn't exist in this movie universe.
Which is bullshit, personally.
It is. It really is. It's not right because okay.
He's the best Robin. Just saying.
Those are arguments for another day and time. My thing is okay. Some people. I think what the powers would be, okay? They look at Dick Grayson. He was the original Robin. And there are some people that think that comic books should never change. And if they had it their way, Dick Grayson would stay a 10-year-old kid as Robin. Okay, fine. He grew up like he should. Became Nightwing. There was a second Robin, which a lot of people didn't take to. And along with a lot of other people, voted to kill this mug off, okay? But, of course, you can't have a Batman without a Robin.
No, you kind of can't.
So they came up with a third Robin, which was Tim Drake. And Tim Drake has some good detective skills, was trained to fight by some great people, you know? And, basically, the things they should have gotten right with Robin originally... but didn't because they wrote Robin different back in the day. But when they came up with Tim Drake, they corrected all the problems that Robin had as a character and made him, Robin at this point was done correctly. But of course he grew up and then they made Damian Wayne as the new Robin. And so, okay, they're not going to get rid of Damian Wayne because that's Batman's son. The people today, they really like Damian Wayne. They like his attitude. You know, he's a little kid, he's a killer. He's a great Robin, too. But they did the new 52, and now they're trying to get rid of certain people and certain characters. And even though Tim Drake still exists in the new 52, movie-wise, he don't exist. Like, every time they do a cartoon, they go back to Dick Grayson. Now, Young Justice did have Tim Drake in it, which, excuse me, didn't last long, only 2 seasons. But, you know, it just... Kid, you know, Wally West and Tim Drake, they're just getting the short end of the stick.
That, sadly, and they're my favorite versions of Flash and Robin.
So, but...
Okay, I highly recommend this movie.
Yeah, it's not better than Son of Batman, but it's
I like Son slightly better.
If you do like these movies, then you'll enjoy watching this. I would say it's a rental. For sure. I don't know if you should buy it, but if you can rent it, which you probably can, yeah, rent it, you know.
People still rent movies.
You say?
People still rent
movies. No, not all movies are available for rent, though.
I know.
I do have to say, the quality of these DC movies haven't been... Of a high echelon in a while,
as they once were.
I mean, they're watchable, but none of them are like, wow, man, that was just. I think the last one that I really think blew me away, believe it or not, was Flashpoint. I thought that was a great film.
It took a storyline I didn't particularly think was that interesting. It made something good out of it.
Yeah, I mean, they really cleaned it up from the book, which I don't feel they did with Batman versus Robin. They didn't clean that storyline up. If anything, they took the focus away of what that story should have been about. But still watchable. All right, so we was good then to news.
A shit ton of news.
We might not get to all of it, but we'll get to most of it.
Yeah, well, since we mentioned animation, we might as well talk about the next DC animated movie, which is Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Oh, yes, which is...
being written, animated, directed by Bruce Timm.
Yeah, he's come back home, people. Bruce Timm, who was responsible for...
Oh, wait, no. My bad, it's written by Alan Burnett. And...
but he's still working on it.
Oh, yeah, he's still heavily involved.
You know, if you was a fan of the Batman cartoon, the Superman, or, Justice League,
or anything involving anything of the DC animated universe,
and some of the early movies, then Bruce Timm was involved, and the only other person who put out quality, of course, he passed away, which was I don't blank on his name now.
Paul Dini, Alan Burnett.
No. No. They didn't pass away, did they?
I know one of them did.
No, he was a writer.
You keep talking. Okay, you talk about the movie. I'll look this up.
Anyway, so, you know, DC does what they do elsewhere in worlds, and they got the, from what I saw in the featurette, they got the idea when they first redid Flash and Green Lantern, they brought up two new people from the original Golden Age and changed the costume, changed the way their powers was based, changed all that. But Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, when they went from the Golden Age to the Silver Age, they stayed the same. So they decided what would happen if they changed these characters, which is the premise of this upcoming film, in which instead of Kal-El, you get Zod's son, who came to Earth and became Superman. Batman is an actual vampire, and Wonder Woman is more like a Kirby-esque new guy, like type of.
He's got a bit of a helmet, like Big Bart is.
Right, and they don't have the the moral center that the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman we know. So what would happen if they took up crime but didn't care about good or doing things, taking care of people? It's just, you know, just getting the job done. And that's what we're going to see in this new particular movie coming up. Did you look up the name yet?
I'm having a hard time finding exactly.
Okay, he's. I give you a hint. He's black.
Dwayne McDuffie.
Yeah, Dwayne McDuffie. Yes.
He was involved more in Justice League, not bad in the animated series.
No. I'm saying the movies he put out.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I know Dwayne McDuffie.
I'm saying his movies were quality.
I know. I love Dwayne McDuffie.
Right. I'm saying since
you were meeting so.
Well, I'm saying like most of the movies that he wasn't involved in or the guy we just talked about, you know, they've been okay, but they haven't been great. You know what I mean? Flashpoint's probably the greatest one that came out that didn't involve either one of those two guys.
Yeah, maybe.
The one with Aquaman. It's a nice watch.
Throne of Atlantis.
Yes, Throne of Atlantis. Nice watch. Wasn't great.
I liked it.
Oh, I liked it. It just wasn't great, though. I mean,
I was saying my opinion, but okay. But yeah, it was good.
So,
Dwayne McDuffie, God, I still miss him.
I think a lot of people do. Let's get into some news.
That was our first piece of news. It's staying within the realm of DC. Me and Sarah have already waxed about how much we love the current Flash TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be an upcoming Flash movie, which hopefully won't screw over the TV show somehow.
They won't have nothing to do with each other.
What's up?
Which is a mistake. Cause that's what people want, shared universe. They do. I mean,
you know what? You know what? I'm fine with a multiverse sort of thing. It's whatever. But we know Ezra Miller is going to be playing the Flash. So I still say it will be.
The reason why My thing is, okay, you can have separate universes so long as one's not dictating to the other, you can't do this and you can't do that.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And that's what happens a lot with Warner Brothers. They don't want the TV shows to do things that would...
that they're planning on for movies.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, we might not be seeing Suicide Squad or Deadshot for a while on Arrow.
No, that's why we're not seeing them, period. That's why Deadshot was removed from the show, because...
Which I think is a dumb decision.
Well, who's playing Deadshot in the movie?
Will Smith.
Right. And they don't want people to get confused. They think they think we're stupid.
Yeah, well, we're not. But as I was saying, with the Flash.
And then that wouldn't be... Listen, it wouldn't be good, right? If people... Not to say... Okay, here's the fear. And I kind of get it in a way. Okay, you look at Will Smith's performance as Deadshot, right? And then you compare, what's the guy who played Deadshot in the TV show?
Michael Rowe.
Right. And you compare him. And if Michael Rowe's performance is better, then that makes Will Smith look bad. So, they don't want that.
Whatever.
I know.
It's still stupid. But anyway, regarding the Flash movie, now... As I preface with any time the sources mentioned, this is from Latino Review, so get your grains of salt. Apparently, leads for this might be Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
For what?
The Flash.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be great. I love Lord Miller, and them doing the Flash. Oh my god, it just seems right. It just seems so damn right that it needs to happen now. Make it happen.
Yeah, because Zack Snyder can't do every DC movie.
Let's hope he doesn't do every DC movie.
But he's doing the main one, so I mean, listen. He did Superman, right? I like Man of Steel. I still love Man of Steel.
I'm mixed on it.
Okay. This new one coming up, it was supposed to be the Man of Steel, and now it's really Batman versus Superman, but it's really Backdoor Justice League. Yeah, maybe. But now he's also doing the Justice League movie. It's all going to be the same. It's not going to be any differential between these movies. You know, you watch Avengers and you watch Thor and you watch Iron Man, Captain America, they're all different flavors. And it works when you bring it together with different directors. Now, of course, we're going to get into directors later doing some Marvel movies, but anywho. I just feel that I'm afraid that all these movies that Snyder does is going to look all the same, which is not a good thing.
Well yeah, because
not that I hate Snyder. I'm not a Snyder hater.
I he could do way better.
Yeah, all his movies. Look, he's done some bad movies. He's done some movies I like. So
okay, but we can both agree, Sucker Punch was a piece of garbage, right?
Yeah. You know, one day, and I probably told you this already, but one day, I will bring myself to watching the musical version of that movie.
Don't.
Why, have you seen it?
The what? The extended version?
Yes.
That's the only version I saw.
Well, I didn't see the extended version, so I didn't see all the musical numbers. And are they as bad as you would think they are, those musical numbers?
The movie just sucks.
Yeah, because it's about a girl.
It's 13-year-old Zack Snyder's masturbatory fantasy.
It's about a girl being raped in a nut house and imagining she's fighting her way out of trouble.
You know what would be impressive? If someone wrote a version of Sucker Punch that made any sense.
No, I don't think nobody should ever touch Sucker Punch. Just let that shit...
You know whatever, you're
if
right.
you're a fanboy that thinks that, if that was a good movie, that's on you.
Yeah.
The rest of the world knows better.
I'll show you some good movies. Just let me know who you are, and I'll get you a list of good movies to watch. But... Hey, Lord and Miller on Flash. I like that. I like it a lot. It fit. They got the right tone, and it seems like they'd get the character. They'd get them. So, good. Moving on. We're going to touch on some Marvel stuff because we're going to balance it out. We're going to get a couple Daredevil items out of the way since it is coming up in a couple days. Now, showrunner Stephen Stephen DeKnight, has been talking to press. He's been making the rounds, doing the press junkets, all that. You know, even said, he's brought up possibilities for the future of Daredevil and Netflix and Marvel and Netflix, like saying, when talking to Sci-Fi Now, he said, I'm looking forward, there are so many stories to tell. The Hand, Electra, Bullseye, with 13 episode arc, you don't have to rush it, you can explore. It's not to say we are going to do Bullseye and Electra, but it's on the radar. Thus meaning, if this show has even a possibility of season 2, we could be seeing those two classic and important Daredevil characters. And as for Punisher, which so many people have been wondering if that's going to be done, given how Daredevil looks, how violent and grim and dark and gritty it looks. If my Mac would honestly load this up faster, there we go. Stephen S. DeKnight was asked about the hopes of Marvel making a hard R Punisher series. He said, quote, I've been a huge fan of the Punisher comics for years. I'd love to see him get his due on a platform like this. Nothing would delight me more than to see the Punisher get his own show, and maybe we could convince Marvel to go hard R rating. If any character deserves an R rating, it's the Punisher.
Yeah, everybody wants to see a bloody, violent Punisher done right. No jokes, no clownish villains. Two of the three Punishers I've liked aspects of that Dolph Lundgren Punisher. No, never. Shit. Never.
That is a shit movie. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Anybody tell you that was the better Punisher movie, you need to unfriend them.
Well, don't unfriend them. Just don't. Just when they try to recommend something to you, don't take their word for it. What the two best Punisher adaptations are? Warzone and the Dirty Laundry short film.
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
No, I am saying that. Ain't no guessing about it.
Maybe they'll do the Black Punisher one day.
But maybe.
You didn't know about the Black Punisher?
I have. I'm just.
What do you know about the Black Punisher?
Hold on. My pause was. I was just taken aback. Like, that's. I'm not. Not sure if that would get across. Like, how that would translate? Wait. You know, given that that's not a well-known. That's not that well-known a character.
Wait, what do you know about the Black Punisher? Who is the Black Punisher?
I'm blanking on his name right now.
See, you don't know nothing about the Black Punisher.
Oh my God. It could be possible. My mind is losing.
The Black Punisher.
All right, Mr. Genius, tell us about it.
Now, who was the Punisher?
Yeah, Frank Castle.
The Black Punisher is Frank Castle. Did you not know that? There was a storyline which he disguised himself to make himself look black.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And, of course, this is when they reintroduced Luke Cage into the Marvel Universe back in the 90s.
I'm remembering it now. It's because, guess what? I only read that once. didn't quite stick around with me.
Excuse me.
My bad.
And of course, Luke Cage has been around ever since, so.
Again, I barely remember this story now that you're bringing it up.
You might not have even been alive back then.
Hey, I've read 60s comics. I've gotten my hands on, like, decades old comics.
Okay.
Speaking of Luke Cage, he's got a showrunner now.
Yeah. Who's the showrunner?
Trying to find... Oh, there it is. God, this Google Doc is so full this week.
I found it right away. What took you so long?
Then why don't you read it?
Maybe I will.
Nah, I already got it up. There was a press release put out by Marvel and Netflix saying Netflix and Marvel Television announced today, that day being March 31st, that Chio Hodari Coker will serve as executive producer and showrunner of the anticipated series Marvel's Luke Cage. Coker is writing the first two episodes of the series that will premiere in 2016 everywhere that Netflix is available. Coker's previous credits have included being a co-executive producer on the second season of Ray Donovan, supervising producer on season 4 of Southland, and his feature film credits include the Biggie Smalls biopic Notorious, and he also wrote the book Unbelievable, The Life, Death, and Afterlife of Notorious B.I.G., and he got his career starting in journalism. He was a staff writer in the Los Angeles Times and has contributed to Vibe, Rolling Stone, Essence, and among other publications. So, this is the man in charge of Luke Cage.
Well, I trust Marvel and who they pick to, run their shows and their movies, so.
It's kind of a mixed bag, because I thought Notorious was just okay, and I love Southland. That's a great show.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Jeb Loeb, right? I'm just kidding. So what do you think about what he does as far as TV goes?
It's a mixed bag, because you remember he did Heroes?
No, I'm talking about for Marvel. Forget Heroes.
Okay, again, it's still a mixed bag, because he's behind Hulk and the Agents of S.M.A.S.H., and...
Well, he's everything that comes on TV, he's involved in. He runs the TV division. I know.
He's got a mixed record, is what I'm trying to say. So, like, I'm still... Like, you know, I'm hoping... I've already told you, Daredevil's my favorite Marvel character, so I'm hoping this... When it comes on in a couple days, it just kicks my ass. Like, I would be so... I'll be so glad at this show. So, like,
Is it going to be available at midnight Friday morning, or...?
What time zone are you on?
I'm in the East Coast.
Okay, that'll be 3 a.m. for you. It'll be released midnight California time.
Okay.
Which will be 3 a.m. your time, 2 a.m. time.
Okay, and you gonna wait up for it?
Oh hell yeah! I'm gonna be watching. I'm gonna be streaming that right the hell through. But again, as for Loeb on TV, it's still a mixed bag because you know, aside from the Marvel stuff, you know, he was kind. He did help out with Smallville and when it was good and. Although he was on Lost during its second season. And
I'm not talking about anything he...
Heroes.
Outside of Marvel. It's Marvel.
Okay, fine. Marvel Entertainment, so far not so good. So far, again, mixed bag. Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s pretty good, but the animated shows, not that good.
There's nothing wrong with the Avengers.
Yeah, Spider-Man, that's what I'm saying. This is the least terrible piece of
Spider-Man
cake.
Has flashes of brilliance at times. Hawk,
that's shit.
They could have did something good with that, but they wanted to go the children route on that. And
it's a shit show. It's okay to say it.
I got so many episodes piled up on my DVR. I got to
delete them. Just
no, I gotta watch them.
Why?
It's my job. I do my job, man. See, I'm unlike you. I'm professional.
See? I'm sorry. I understand watching the first whole season, but then after that, if you don't like the show, just drop it.
Nope.
I'm just saying, there is an option.
Anyway, what's next?
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out what we should even talk about. Okay, let's talk about Deadpool. Deadpool this week, we got looks on set as to how Ryan Reynolds is looking both in and out of the costume. And, of course, some looks at T.J. Miller and Marina Baccarin on set, which is nice. Shooting is well underway right now. But the bigger news, Deadpool is officially rated R.
Which is good news for everyone.
Yes, the news came after, like, early on April Fool's Day, there was an announcement saying, like, it is PG-13. But then there was a video of Ryan Reynolds giving an interview to Mario Lopez. And Ryan Reynolds in a Deadpool outfit coming up behind Mario Lopez and hitting him with knocking him out with lighting equipment. And, of course, the official super real announcement has radar.
So, hopefully we'll get the cursing and the killing.
And boobs.
Boobs? You think we're going to get some boobs? I'm not ready for that.
I think we'll get some Yeah, we'll get some nudity in this.
You get nudity in the comic book?
Yeah, there's nudity in comic books.
In the Deadpool comic books.
Sometimes.
Real nudity?
Yes, a couple instances of real nudity.
Okay. Still not a Deadpool fan.
That's your fault.
No, it's not. I mean, I got the original Deadpool appearance, so he just never did it for me. That's okay.
Let's just keep talking about some comics, because, you know, the supposed Justice League Dark movie update, it'll probably happen with or without Guillermo del Toro.
Which is no big surprise. I mean, first of all,
he's got like 1,000 other things he's working on.
First of all, a Justice League Dark movie, that I won't believe until I see it. I mean, first of all, they haven't even got Justice League off the ground, and they talking about doing Justice League Dark. I don't think they're doing it. And the only person that was really pushing for it was Del Toro.
Yeah, and while he was on a promotional stop at IGN for The Strain, I believe the season 1 Blu-ray, or the upcoming season, either way, he talked to IGN. Quote, we turned in our script revision and it all depends on the calendar, you know. If I can do it, I would love to do it. And I think the screenplay and the characters are very solid. And Del Toro said if, you know, the calendar doesn't line up, somebody will do it. You cannot say, yeah, I'll do it after I
did
do
they
this.
Put
or,
a release
I'll
date?
Have the first season of Strain. It needs to fall into Planet of the DC Universe.
Did they put a release date on Justice League Dark like they did the other movies?
No, they have not.
Okay, that's your answer right there.
Well, Del Toro just said he just turned in the script revision.
Okay. Okay.
More or less implying, yeah, it's being worked on. They're just now over.
That's all right.
They got nothing else beyond that.
Doesn't matter. Doctor Strange will blow it out of the water anyway, so. What can you say?
Maybe it will.
Yeah, it will. Oh, man, you know what?
Are you psychic or something?
On a personal note, I'm so bummed out. They was on Twitter yesterday, they was giving away Avengers glasses. and I didn't win any. And I'm so upset. I want the whole set this time. I want the entire set of Avengers glasses. Can you get that? Can you do that for me, Jordan?
What?
Get the Avengers glasses for me.
Are we talking like 3D glasses or drinking glasses?
3D glasses.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. What, do I gotta like buy them or something?
Say it now.
I
No, they're gonna be available with the movie.
Like I have to keep them.
Yes, it's seven.
Okay, I get you Avengers glasses. What do I get out of this?
You keep your job.
I need a little bit more than that.
There's seven glasses. You got, of course, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man. You got the Black Widow. You got the Vision. You got an Ultron pair. And you got a Hulk pair. So, last time was only Cap, Thor, Iron Man, Hulk. So, Black Widow is new. And, of course, Vision and Ultron's new.
But where are the Hawkeye glasses?
No Hawkeye. He's just a C player.
Lie.
He might even die in this movie.
He shouldn't, though.
Well, they keep saying somebody's gonna die. So who's it gonna be?
I know. Wally the Mailman.
No, Wally the Mailman. Come on.
He's a Marvel character.
Yeah, but he's not in the Avengers movies.
You don't know that.
Isn't that a Fantastic Four character?
Don't poke holes in my stupid joke.
Let's see. season 4 of the Arrow.
Yes.
They're gonna be dealing with the Hive, which is really a Teen Titans group of villains, but they're using them in Arrow. I've heard somebody say Hive is more like Hydra. I don't think they're more like AIM, right?
They're the DC equivalent of AIM. I cannot say that Hive is anything like Hydra.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I thought they'd be more AIM, which of course AIM is, you know, they're just mad scientists who think they can take over the world through science.
Whereas Hydra, this is just a bunch of psychopaths.
Nazi psychopaths.
Yeah, okay. Psychopaths aren't bad, but Nazi psychopaths. Yeah.
So that ought to be interesting. Of course, we heard about the Hive in season 1 of Arrow when it was revealed that John Diggle's brother was killed because of the Hive. And then this season, they mentioned the Hive briefly when you get Deadshot hired for the first time to take out John Diggle's brother, Andy.
Yeah.
So I guess you get a lot of flashbacks with that.
And Diggle actor John Ramsey said to E, "From my understanding, Hyde is going to be a big part of next season's Big Baddie. We are going to delve right into why Hive hired Deadshot to kill Andy and what Hive is about to begin with. There will be a lot of Diggle's connection to Hive next season." So
I still think Amanda Waller has something to do with it.
Amanda Waller's apparently got something to do with everything.
Like, I thought originally, you know, the episode when Oliver came back to Stalin City in the flashback, and you meet Andy Diggle for the first time, he's working a job. I thought maybe it was going to be revealed that he caught a glimpse of Oliver, and that's why he was. Deadshot got hired to kill him to keep that secret, but it still could play out. Who knows? You know what the police knowing that Oliver Queen is the Arrow. This could be an easy setup for them doing next season, the Supermax storyline, which was supposed to be made to a movie but never got made, where Oliver Queen goes to jail and has to deal with the villains that he helped put away.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to get that, so.
That'd be cool. You think they'll ever do, like, say, Oliver being mayor?
Mayor?
Yeah.
Was he mayor in the comic book?
Yeah, you never read that?
No.
Yeah, no, it was during a Winnix run.
Then it probably happened. I mean, well, the mayor got killed in last week's episode. So,
which, by the way, is apparently becoming a running gag on fucking Arrow now. Just kill the mayor.
Well, you know, happens. Not safe okay. when you.
One more thing about Arrow. Do you think they'll do the Longbow Hunters?
Isn't Michael Merlin part of the Longbow Hunters?
Let me make sure. I mean, you read Longbow Hunters, right?
Some of it.
I will say that's fantastic. No, Merlin's not part of the Longbow Hunters.
I thought the Dark Archer was part of the Longbow Hunters.
No, I'm talking about this comic book storyline.
Right.
But no. Longbow Hunters, he was not involved. No.
Okay. I don't know if they'll ever do Longbow, but you never know.
I would love if they did. That's personally, to me, one of my favorite Green Arrow comic book stories.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was like part of that great series run of DC in the late 80s that carried on into the 90s.
That's funny. 90s great comic books. Most people don't think that, but
they have happened. They're rare as hell, but they have happened.
Yeah, I read plenty of good books in the 90s.
Yeah, as did I. It's just that, you know, they were few and far between.
Now, Flash and Arrow is getting a spinoff. And, you know, we have mentioned different characters joining Captain Cold,
Heatwave, the Atom,
Firestorm.
Yes. And we got two more this week. Why don't you take this one and I'll take the other one?
Well, for all you Doctor Who fans, Arthur Duvall, who played Rory, is joining the cast of the Arrow Flash spinoff. And he's playing Rip Hunter, who's a time traveler. Some people think he's going to be the focus of the show. He's going to be traveling through time and interacting with these other characters. What do you think?
That may be. I mean, although I'm like, God, man, time travel, let's just get Booster Gold.
Well, some people also think that he really is Booster Gold, that it'll be revealed he's Booster Gold.
Well, Rex Hunter's Booster Gold's son.
Yeah, but, you know, they can change stuff for TV.
I know, just saying. But that's not the only person to join. Sierra Renee will be joining as Hawk Girl.
And the significance of her is, of course, she's Hispanic.
Yes.
But it's not the first time a Hispanic has played Hawk Girl. For those who may not have known, the person who voiced Hawkgirl in the Justice League cartoon was Hispanic.
And also voiced an actual Hispanic character, Fire, as well.
And,
look it up, trust me.
You know, all you people think they're changing Hawkgirl's color, well, she's an alien, so you don't know what she really would look like.
She could be, for all you know, if I'm telling you right now she's purple, she could be.
Yeah, I mean, tone it down, you people.
Yeah, I mean, come on. She's, look, you know what's most important? She's a Thanagarian.
Yes.
Am I wrong? Is that that's what's important? She's from Thanagaria? You know, she's a Thanagarian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Hawkgirl kicking ass.
Yeah, I think that would take a lot of money to do her. I mean, doing the Flash's effects, you know, it's a little bit easier than having somebody fly around, which is why you didn't get any flying on Smallville a lot. And so far, the Atom, which is really Iron Atom, hasn't flown many times on Arrow.
By the way, I found out, Brandon Ralph was actually going to be Ted Kord on Arrow.
Yeah?
Yeah, but then they found out, oh, we actually got Plant. Yeah, but then Warner Brothers was like, oh, we actually kind of got some ideas for him within our little movie universe going on.
So Ted Kord was going to be used in the movie, right?
Apparently, but then they decided to swap out with Ray Palmer, which is why I'm mixed on Brandon Ralph. I like Brandon Ralph on this season of Arrow as Ray Palmer, but he's just playing as he would be Ted Kord. It's just Ted Kord being Ray Palmer, not Ray Palmer being Ray Palmer.
And what's the difference?
The characterization.
Right. Explain to me the difference.
Again, Ray Palmer's more of a scientist. He's not really a tech person like Ted Kord is.
Oh, okay. So that's what you deal with. Okay.
Again, don't get me wrong. I like Brandon Ralph. He's really good. But this is more like, I would really like it if he was playing Ray Palmer more as Ray Palmer.
Oh, we should lead into this since we talk about Arrow. But Stephen Amell, who plays the Arrow, has landed a role in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles' next movie. He got the lead role as Casey Jones. It's not lead, but he got the role of Casey Jones.
Which is more or less an important character in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles saga.
Which, of course, what happens if he's well-received as Casey Jones? And then, of course, they don't use him in the Justice League movies. You think DC will be kicking themselves?
I don't know.
You don't know either. I think it doesn't seem like they're going to use Green Arrow in the movies. Huh. It's a mistake. No one listens to us anyway. They should, but they don't.
We could change the game if people would just listen to us.
Yeah, we've been at this for a while, so let's do some
quick fire.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, okay. After this okay, we will do quick fire after this brief moment of silence because the co-creator of Lobo, Roger Silfer, has sadly passed away. So again, moment of silence for Silfer.
Okay, be silent then. Now, I have to say Lobo is the epitome of a 90s character.
Oh, he is.
And he's...
You know what? He actually works.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, but unlike so many things in the 90s, he actually works.
He kind of comes across more as a Marvel character in the DC universe than he does. Is he still popular today, though?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And what about this new Lobo?
There are still so many Lobo fans.
What about the new Lobo?
That's a mixed thing. Like,
are they both still around?
Yeah, it's still around. Like, you know, we interviewed the current writer of it, Colin Bunn, which you can go back to on iTunes and re-listen. It's a pretty good book so far.
Okay.
Well, it's not the Lobo I love, but it's cool.
If you've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some of these inhuman characters that have been popping up on the TV show aren't just random characters. They are also showing up in the comic books. What's his name? Gordon. and Raina's new transform character. They both are showing up in the comic books of the Inhumans, which is seems like Marvel is going to focus more attention on the Inhumans than they are the X-Men going forward.
Yes.
I mean, they name it, they, one of their books, The Uncanny Inhumans, because Marvel is going to push anything they can make into a movie, and anything they don't have the rights to, well, hey, you on your own.
So. Pretty much. Pretty much. Casting news. Man, spring is messing with my throat right now. All right. New upcoming actress Brianna Helgebrand has been casted as Negasonic Teenage Warhead in the Deadpool movie. And yes, I'm not making that character name up. If it's any context, it's a Grant Morrison creation.
This is this week's storyline. It's because let's not jump into next week's stories. Okay, then we won't have nothing to talk about for next week.
This is from last week.
Okay, just making sure.
Killer Croc's been casted in Suicide Squad. I always suck at pronouncing his name. Remember Mr. Echo from Lost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's Killer Croc.
Yeah. It won't be long before they say Batman shows up in this.
I don't really want Batman in my Suicide Squad.
Well, he showed up in the Suicide cartoon movie.
I know, but
because they were too afraid to just have them.
That at least worked.
Huh?
Well, that was a different basis, like of setting up, like to have, like to actually have. Like, it made sense story wise.
Okay.
All right. About three more stories. G.I. Joe Free gets its screenwriter with Aaron Berg.
I'm not sure who he is, but you know, it's G.I. Joe. You like it, or you don't like it.
Yeah, pretty much. Berg has previously written drafts for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Shooter, and has recently written Sex and Six. So, I don't know what to tell you, G.I. Joe fans. You can just, that's good news. Marvel's putting out a faux newspaper for people to actually explain what the hell is going on with Secret Wars.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to help, but
I doubt it will.
I doubt if it will, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, and Marvel, being that they're tying in all the universes, are also going to do some animated movie tie-ins to what's going on with their cinematic and television Marvel Universe.
There's a proposed at the recent WonderCon, there was inklings, like not officially said, about possible animated tie-ins to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which is fine with me, because like what we got now with the Marvel cartoons, they have a 10-year-old in mind. They don't have me in mind or you in mind.
No.
And that's okay. It's okay if you make shows for 10-year-olds, but make shows for other people too.
Really hoping that this upcoming Guardians cartoon is good.
Well, it'll be probably on the same level as the Avengers that's currently out. They've shown up in the Avengers, so.
I should correct myself. This announcement was made at Emerald City Comic Con.
Emerald City. When was that?
That was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
It was the weekend before WonderCon.
I didn't know Emerald City came and went.
It kind of usually
does. That's usually a big con.
Yeah, it really is. Let's see. Last two bits of news, and then we are out of here. Macy Williams from Game of Thrones gonna be on Doc. Gonna have a guest star spot on the upcoming season of Doctor Who.
Okay. When is Doctor Who back coming back on?
No idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, at this point, we shouldn't have to wait a year and a half to 2 years between Doctor Who seasons. I mean, they should be coming out every year around the same time.
They've already started production on the new season.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I should know when a new Doctor Who season, whether it's every August, every September, every April, whatever. Speaking of April, got Orphan Black about to come back on.
Yeah. Excited. And our last bit of news, you enjoy 1960s Analyst Batman? Like in that comic book and that new Blu-ray set? I get ready to have a little bit more. Adam West and Burt Ward are reprising their iconic roles for a 50th anniversary animated movie.
Yeah, some people love those 60s Batman, and it kind of makes sense to do something animated because, you know, Adam West still does voiceovers, and people suck this stuff up with a straw. And it could be some, hey, if you get the right animators to work on it, it could be great.
Oh yeah, they announced this at the Mad Monster Party Horror Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina a couple weeks ago. They're making a full-length 90-minute movie, animated movie, for the 50th anniversary of the 60s
show. Now, is it going to be campy TV show or 60s Batman that I used
to
watch?
I imagine it's going to be in the same tone as the TV show.
Because the 60s Batman, I used to love watching those shows. You've seen them, right?
What?
The 60s Batman cartoon?
Of course I have.
That's what I think they should stick to. That worked.
Well, again, I said, I think it's going to be in the same vein as the show.
So he could be running around with a bomb for 5 minutes. Okay.
You know, Surfer, there are just some days where you can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, especially you got people in the way.
And a bunch of ducks.
And that Batman, of course, he follows the rules of driving. He doesn't speed. He doesn't go through red lights. And he doesn't run from the police.
No, he doesn't.
So,
that's it. Yep.
Did we talk about Star Trek?
Shit. I didn't know you wanted to talk about that. But
is that
okay.
This week or next week?
Yeah, okay, let's save it for next week.
Okay.
Not sure how much longer they want to hear us coughing.
Yeah, okay. Well, people, this is our makeup show for the What Are You Reading comic book show, and hopefully you know you'll have a chance to listen to this. We didn't waste our time just talking. And of course we'll be on live every Sunday, 5 p.m. for a live episode of What Are You Reading comic book show. It should be working fine. You'll hear us live. You'll hear both of us. We have other fine programming here at Rant EM Radio. Sunday is us. Saturdays is the Wrestling Calling Show with William Morgan, 11 p.m. Fridays is the Lex Experience Podcast. Thursdays, the Rex Plex, followed by Rant and Wrestling. Wednesday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. with Phil and Dave. Tuesday nights, Rant with Double A. And this coming Tuesday is his 400th episode. So he wants to rub it in that he's been on the air that long. And so, anyway. Mondays is That Awful Podcast at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney. And at 11:15, Freaks and Effing Geeks. And those are all the fine shows you hear. We have here at Rant EM Radio. And we will be doing a special on the Avengers coming up soon in the month of May. So keep an eye on that. Okay? And with that, we're going to say goodnight to all you people out there. So say goodnight, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Peace.